May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 709. 709. The Lord that made both heaven and earth, and was himself made man, lay in the womb before his birth, contracted to a span. Hymn number 709.
Let us read together for our instruction from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 11, and we will read the first 36 verses. Luke chapter 11, the first 36 verses. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a young man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him 7 other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the patch which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be in his generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is full of darkness. Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. There we will leave the reading. The Lord bless his own word and help us to pray. Gracious and merciful Lord God, we come to beseech of thee help and wisdom as we gather together to worship. O Lord, we know not how to pray as we ought, but we know that there is no lack with thy gracious Spirit, who may indite within true living prayer, that we might pray and obtain answers to such petitions. Lord, may it be that as we gather together, we feel our great need of thy salvation. O Lord, that is the need we need to have. For if we come just wanting temporal things, though thou dost give us those many blessings and things that we have need of in life, yet what of our never dying soul. Lord, we therefore pray that thou would not leave us to our sad and wretched condition, but may the power and glory of that salvation which has been brought through him who condescended to us in our low estate, even thine own dear Son, whom thou didst send into the world, that those that believe on him may indeed be saved. And Lord, would we believe only when the true light shines and enters within, and we see what we are ourselves by nature, that is darkness. But the glory of the light of the grace of God may shine and fill our own souls with such glory that the darkness is dispelled. The blessings of a pardon may be known, the sweetness of thy salvation relished, the glory of thy peace realized. In all these things, O Lord, we are humbled, if for a small moment we should know something of this reality. But Lord, do not leave us, we pray, to a mere form of godliness, denying the power thereof, but come and make those things to be real with each that are desiring, praying, and seeking, knocking for those things. And Lord, we are exhorted to so do. O Lord, thou who dost set before us that parable of the one who went to his friend and asked that he might receive according to the need, the present need that he had. And yet it was not because he was his friend, but because of his importunity. And therefore, Lord, make us as that one who continually comes and cries at thy gate and pleads at the footstool of thy mercy, that we may not, Lord, give up until we receive the blessing. But, oh, do pardon us, Lord, of our complacency. Pardon us of our laziness. Oh, Lord, we have to mourn our leanness. Lord, do come, enliven our hearts, and give us that true zeal for the grace of faith, and that faith may be enlarged. Increase our faith, as those disciples said and desired. O Lord, we are thankful that even a faith as a grain of mustard seed may say to the mountains of our unbelief, mountains of our fears, mountains of our troubles, be thou removed, and so they may be. And then, Lord, we may go on in that calm and quiet manner which thou hast exhorted us to. In quietness and rest, we shall know thy goodness and power. Lord, when we are weak, said the apostle, then are we strong. O Lord, do grant us to know the weakness in self, but the strength that we may have in Christ. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies upon this people. Thou knowest them altogether. There are those amongst them that do know the evidences of sickness, weakness, one particularly in his state having suddenly come into, at least as it would seem, into that condition which may cause much concern. And we cannot tell what the end will be, though we may sometimes wonder. We know, Lord, that sicknesses which are sent of thee are for a purpose. They may be for our sanctification. They may be for our preparation. O Lord, we pray that we might therefore pray for such, that they may be blessed through the means. And thy sovereign afflictions are often as means. They become as our teachers. We then learn as we could not otherwise. And Lord, so it is by these things that we live. And Lord, it is that these things may be known, that we live spiritually enlivened through that grace given. We also do pray that they would be mindful of those that are not with us, even the children, the young. Lord, we would bear them before thee. Also the parent or parents that may be detained because of their little family. Lord, we do commend them to thee. We do, Lord, pray for those that may often feel that they are spent in the day's labours, and therefore weariness overtakes them. Some may struggle and come, and yet perhaps sometimes feel, because of the infirmities of the flesh, they have gathered nothing. And yet, O Lord, may they still heed the words of the Saviour to his disciples, who exhorted them to watch and pray, lest they enter into temptation. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt be mindful also of those that bear responsibilities. The officers of the church, do give them, Lord, all needed grace and wisdom, humility and love to work together for thy cause of truth and for thine own honour and glory. We pray, Lord, for those thy servants that may labour amongst them from time to time. And as they may come and hear one and then another, may there be that which binds all together. May it be that there is a continuity and a flowing on, and a flowing on, so that the ministry may serve to bring about that increase in grace and in knowledge. And Lord, may they, the people here in their coming, desire much to grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that there would also be with any that are indifferent, or that they, Lord, may perhaps not feel exercised about coming to the weeknight service. But, Lord, thou art able to turn their minds and to bring them to know the solemnities of eternity. Eternity, tremendous sound, to guilty souls a dreadful wound. Then, Lord, they may tremble and desire and seek to be found in thy house whenever it is possible. O Lord, as they may prove that to absent themselves may mean that they do not hear what might or could be made a blessing, and such an exercise may therefore constrain them. We do also pray that thou would grant thy work to appear in Zion at large. Lord, we live in a very solemn day. There is a diminishing. There are those that have turned aside. Oh, we would pray for the prodigals, that they may be brought again and come and fill the house. If all brought up under the sound of the gospel that occupied the seats here, and their offspring perhaps as well, then would not the place be full and to overflowing? Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we do pray that there may also be those which are sunk in the evils of this world, yet if thou hast made them to be chosen vessels, then, Lord, do bring them to their Damascus road, as it were, not perhaps to be an apostle or even a minister or even a deacon, but to be a sinner saved by grace. We do, Lord, pray that thou would also be gracious unto our churches, our little denomination. Lord, we wonder where the scene will end. But still there are those that are sent forth into the work. We are thankful for the labourers that thou hast raised up. We also, Lord, would pray that there may be the evidence of the harvest, those that are evidencing that grace in their hearts. They may perhaps think they can hide it, but nonetheless, the shoot cannot be hid, even if the root is not seen. And by and by, there is the ear, and then the corn in the ear. And Lord, when it is the full corn, then prepared and made ready for the harvest. Lord, we also would pray that thou would have mercy upon us as a nation. What a world we live in. Lord, there is evil in every quarter. And Lord, we find that we as a nation, once regarded as stalwarts for the word of God, yet now, O Lord, we find it is despised, and men blaspheme thy name, they desecrate thy holy day, they walk contrary to thy commandments. Lord, surely we are ripening for judgment. But, oh, do stay thy hand if it could please thee, even for thy little remnant's sake. Lord, we pray that thou wilt raise up men of integrity who may be given that wisdom to do what is right in thy sight, and to be respected of men, that they may then be able to fulfill the purpose which will be for the good of our nation and particularly for thy people. Have mercy upon our King. Lord, what he has and it still is passing through, finding he has to relinquish some of his duties because not able to perform. Lord, we pray that these things may give him many a thought and a grave concern as to how he stands before the King of Kings. Lord, we also would pray for others of the royal family that have been affected with their conditions. And that, Lord, we've wondered and waited and looked to see whether it is that the treatment has been of done its work, so to speak, and that life should be spared and lengthened. But, Lord, all these things are in thy hands. Lord, may it therefore be that as these things are considered, it may yet be for the good of one or another, for their eternal good. And now, Lord, pardon us of our many sins. What we may have uttered amiss, forgive. Make up in giving where we fail in our asking. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him, and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. Remember one thing, oh, may it sink deep. Our Shepherd and King cares much for his sheep. To trust him endeavour, the work is his own. He makes the believer and gives him his crown. Hymn number 804.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I will direct your attention to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, and read in the second part of verse 2, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, and verse 2, the second part. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. This prayer was set before the people in that Sermon on the Mount. But our Lord spoke those things concerning prayer and the manner of prayer. And he gave the pattern of prayer as we have it in this prayer, which is now recorded, perhaps spoken at a different time. That is perhaps of no particular importance. But nonetheless, here the disciples, they inquired of him how they might pray. And doubtless observing their Lord and Saviour praying, then they desired something of that same spirit of prayer. The prayers of our Lord were always effectual, and therefore should they not be able to pray in such a manner that would be like his? Well, we have to prove that it is only as we receive the Spirit of grace and we make those groanings which perhaps cannot be uttered. We have to shed those tears which well up from our soul, grieving over our sin, mourning because of our follies and wretchedness, also of our indifference, coldness, far-offness. And yet in these things, the Lord indicts such a prayer in our soul that may bring access into heaven itself, that the heavens may be rent and the goodness of God flow down. These times perhaps are not often or rarely realized in us. Even those that are godly will mourn how these things are so often but rare. But nonetheless, we have to prove that it is in ourselves that it is lacking. Nothing is lacking in him. And this may give us, therefore, purpose in pleading such a word as we are exhorted here, Thy kingdom come. But now, as we consider this word, in the first place, we would consider the meaning that may have been behind these things. The Lord himself had come. He had come that the gospel might be known. He had come that the way of salvation may be accomplished. He came that accomplished salvation may then be that which enters into the very heart of those that are brought to fear his name, to tremble at his word, and to seek him at a time when he may be found. And the finding of our Lord and Saviour will be when he is found in the place. there he manifests himself as our seeking, at our waiting, our calling, our crying. And he notes it, and he discerns that there is a living desire that is wrought in the heart. And we will therefore find that this then becomes our prayer, Thy kingdom come, because we feel the want of it. But the glorious gospel was now being set forth by the one who fulfills all righteousness. The law could never set up a kingdom, though the laws of the kingdom may be embodied in all that it does set forth, but not in its demands, the demandings upon the helpless and those unable to keep even the least commandment, though exhorted to keep the least commandment, but failing in it, not willfully, but when we are brought to acknowledge that we are wretched sinners and desire to be free from that sin, and yet we cannot free ourselves, try as we may. We find that the hymn writer's words are applicable to our souls. The more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more, till late I heard my Saviour say, Come hither, soul, I am the way. The kingdom, when it comes, it sets before us the way whereby we might enter into the glory which is evidenced in the kingdom of God. But before we can ever contemplate glory, we have to come to know the power of that salvation. And when salvation is brought, then the kingdom has come, because the kingdom is within us. It is that which is set up in the soul, and sometimes imperceptibly. Hardly can we credit that there is any life, and yet in the sense and realization of our death, our dying, we find there is living. Did not Hezekiah prove that when he turned his face to the wall? There he was, a dying man, and yet he came to say, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of one spirit. Now it is true, he faced a sickness that was pronounced as being unto death, but his prayer then was regarded, and the prophet was told to return, and that years should be added unto his life. Well, it may not be that such years are added in that sense, literal, but we find that if the life of God is worked then in the soul, oh, what a miracle it will be. And the kingdom has come unto you, because the evils that you have indulged in are now utterly hated, and yet you still find no strength in yourself, but there is strength in Christ. There is strength in the one who rules and reigns, strength in the one who is able to conquer the adversary, the devil, your own deceitful heart, and every demon that may seek to bring a destruction, and the alluring world that would draw you aside and vex you in every way and bring confusion if it can. But we come with this prayer, Thy kingdom come. We know that when he comes, he opens up, as it were, the book, and he shows us those purposes of his, which we perhaps heretofore have not understood. It's a strange path. It's a way that we cannot perceive or enter into until the Lord shows us that this is the way whereby his work, his sovereign work, will be accomplished. When we go forth, and many, when they go forth in their religious expectation, they think that they will be able to turn over, as the saying is, a new leaf, live better tomorrow than they have today. But the teaching of the Spirit is that our old nature gets no better. Rather, as it reveals what we truly are, we feel that it gets worse. It seems worse. But when the Lord shines into our hearts, and instead of darkness, he makes it light. And how is it that light may come? Because his kingdom has come. Yes, his kingdom has come. The blessedness of the one who condescended to us to take our nature, found in fashion as a man, would bear the sins of his people. And does that mean it's my sin? My sin? Well, such sins, will he take such to bear them and suffer the punishment for them? How undeserving a sinner one is when, under the teaching of the Spirit, we're brought to that place where we dare not lift up our head, and yet the gracious power that is in the gospel may cause our heads to rise and to look to the one who there suffered for us, who died for us, to find that there, nailed to the cross, were all of those things of which we ourselves were guilty of. He bore the punishment instead. Therefore, he bore the reproaches that should fall upon us. But now his kingdom is made manifest. A purchased people, those that are bought with precious blood, those who are redeemed from their lost condition, those who have no righteousness of their own and have to confess it. Pharisees may boast of their righteousness, but a child of God has to boast, can boast in nothing but in Christ. As the apostle spoke, that his boast was alone in his God. The catalogue that Paul writes when he wrote to his son Timothy of his faults, were undoubtedly very real to him, and yet the Lord met with him as when he was in those things. So he says this, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, haling men and women to prison, looking after the coats of those that would stone the believers, as he did with Stephen, and was a witness to Stephen's cries, but it did not have much effect upon this Saul of Tarsus until the Lord met with him. Thy kingdom come. We do not know what may have passed through the through Saul's thoughts when he witnessed Stephen in his death, but he may have reflected upon it often afterwards, when the Lord could have brought him down and made him dead. He indeed fell to the ground. He there was raised as blind. He needed to be led. And yes, the kingdom had come. There to the place he would go, the street called Straight, and that was no, as it were, chance that he should be led there. It was an appointed place where he would know the straightening of his own soul. There he would pray as he had never known prayer. He thought he prayed, no doubt, but now he prayed from the very depths of what he had already received. Why, he had received the seed of faith, the life that is sown by the Holy Spirit. And now he had been brought to repentance, godly repentance. The kingdom had come. Now he would pray for it. Thy kingdom come. Not because it hadn't come, but because his realization of it was not realized. But gradually, the apostle, through those days until Ananias was sent and put his hands upon his upon him, his eyes were to see once more, and was to be received, as a vessel of mercy, No wonder our Lord exhorted these that he had called from the varying quarters, some from their nets and another from the seat of custom, and so on. And these were now to pray this prayer, Thy kingdom come. And they would never cease praying it from their hearts, because they felt continually the need of the witness of the Spirit, that they may then go forth in the strength of that witness and in the strength of what they had already received. Thy kingdom come. Well, it is the kingdom of God's power. And we know we are weak, but we prove he is strong. As the apostle said, I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. But without me, you can do nothing. Without me, a helpless one, as one as severed or cut down as the branch. That is how we are. If we abide in our nature, our old nature, but if grafted into the living vine, then we receive all our strength in him, as the branch may receive its sap. It comes up through the root, and the root is no other than Christ. It is to be also rooted in him. What a blessing it is if we are rooted in the knowledge of this gospel, in the knowledge of the kingdom. The dying thief, right at the end of his life, he knew one thing, and that was that the one in the midst of him and his fellow was none other than the Son of God. And this is a most important thing for us to realize and acknowledge, that he is the Son of God. And he hath done no sin, neither guile found in his mouth. And yet here he was bearing the punishment of a criminal. But then was it not that the dying thief realized that here was one who may have compassion upon such a vile and wretch and sinner as he had been. He was until that dying moment. Then he would know something far surpassing what he had ever experienced in those few moments, and that was to be with Christ in paradise, in heaven itself. That was brought to the realization by the answer to his request, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He viewed Christ's kingdom. Could the kingdom be his? That he would not presume if he was remembered. That would be as a kingdom to him. But can God remember a poor sinner and he remain there at a distance, there cast out, cast away? Can there be one remembered in hell? Well, we may be remembered in our worst condition whilst we are in this life, and the Lord delivers us out of it through his goodness and mercy, and then there is that prepared. Yes, I will remember thee, poor sinner, because I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. With such a consideration which is now being brought to your mind, your soul, then what will be your prayer? thy kingdom come. I pause, dear friends, to make this comment, a very searching comment. But do you desire that this kingdom might come and you prove the glory of it, the blessedness of it? To see, therefore, the one who not only died for you, but also rose again, who broke the bands of death and of the grave, who overcame that through him we may have the victory over those things, the victory through his death. But now we see that he who is risen is now to ascend up into his glory, to go before. Well, he goes to prepare a place for those in whose heart he has prepared to be as suited to such a place. We cannot prepare ourselves. You know, we sometimes may consider and pray, or say, shall I say, to be prepared. It is a prayer most acceptable that we have in our hymn book. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Oh, the preparation will be a weight upon us. But the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Therefore, thy kingdom come, that we may be able in that solemn day to acknowledge that if there's any preparation, then it must begin and end with and in him. And we find that we are helpless. That does not mean to say we should be indifferent, unconcerned. No, indeed not. Who exercises our hearts unto those things? Who therefore would desire to be prepared and be diligent in seeking it? There it must be the one who desires to pray as we have here, thy kingdom come. Well, doubtless there is much that could be said about just these three words, thy kingdom come. And that is the kingdom that he sets up, not the kingdom that we make. Some may in their ignorance think that they can do part of Christ's work. Peter, he thought he could go even with his Lord to death. But what was the Lord's words to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. No, not man's work. Peter, you cannot die for your sin. Neither canst thou die and take my place. That will be poor redemption. Indeed, it will not be redemption at all. But now, it is to see what I can do in redeeming you, Peter, you. Satan hath desired to have thee, to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Oh, to be brought, to bow to the will of God, and that is not to be found in nature, not old nature, no, but he that gives us a new heart and puts a right spirit within us, that will bow unto the Lord of all, and we will say, thy will be done. The justice of God must ever be recognized by a soul that is brought into gracious exercise regarding their deliverance. And if my soul was sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. We know what we deserve, at least we know it in measure. Who can contemplate the awfulness of what our just deserts are? But we might know the fullness of that redeeming love. Redeeming love. Now, love is the wonder that makes his grace to shine, that he should love me. Then we consider the depths that he entered upon, even there in Gethsemane, when those disciples who had no strength or power over themselves to watch and pray, yet there, a stone's cast away, he prayed. He prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He brings all his people, the whole church, into sweet and sacred submission to the will of God. And when you think of carnal opposition, it's a wonder that we're ever brought to be willing. But thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the day of my power. Yes. Willing. It is therefore a wonderful thing when we are made submissive to his sovereign will. And you will find that in such submission there is a peace, a blessed peace. If he was willing to stoop so low, then may we not be willing to bear a little with him in that which will be used to sanctify. We know that it is the trial of our faith, which is much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. The gold is only precious as long as it may remain to the holder of it, as it were. But if it's lost, it's lost. But not one of his precious ones whom he has redeemed can ever be lost. Therefore, they may be tried. They may come to their wits' end. They may perhaps fear that they've lost everything, but there's one thing that they haven't lost, and that is the vital godliness that he has given. no gift of God, which is by Christ, can ever be lost. Remember that. You may feel that you have little faith, but little faith will remain until the end. What do I mean by the end? Well, once we have sight, glorious sight of him in the midst of the throne and have cast our crown at his feet, then we continue in the glory of that sight. Now faith, as you know, faith is the substance of things not seen. And therefore faith does in that sense have its end. Not believing, we continue in believing, but the faith that has brought us into the glorious presence of the one in whom we believe is now realized. If that is a suitable language to express the matter to you, well, what a wonderful thing. Our hope is then, or the expectation of hope is then fully entered into. And hope has its reward. But love, love that was first of all born in your own soul through the Spirit's quickening. Now, after many years, perhaps, of striving with the old enemy, with the old self, now uninterrupted love is to be realized and known. Ah, on such love, my soul still ponder. To think, therefore, of the love of Christ, which will bring a poor, unworthy soul into glory. Thy will be done. And thy will be done. Oh, to therefore know that it is through the things that we are, the Lord has purposed to bring us through. And notice, he brings us through these things. You know, sometimes we may think that we shall be overcome in those things. But the Lord's words to Israel were these: when thou passest through the waters, through the rivers, through the fires, when thou passest through. Now, if we pass through something, we come out, as it were, the other side. Or whatever the other side might be considered. The Hebrew, the three Hebrew children, as they are often referred to, they, by a heathen king, were cast into the burning fiery furnace. What did they lose? They lost all those things that were of no importance to them. Though perhaps raiment may have been well when they were there walking before their fellows, but now with him that walk with them in the fires, all else must be consumed. And instead of three, there were four. The fourth like unto the Son of God. It must have been a very solemn revelation to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar then would have them brought out. And they came out. But those that cast them in were consumed. And the same with those that would have Daniel cast into the lion's den. There of Darius, returning the next morning, cried, O Daniel, is thy God able to save? And so there was the response. Daniel was let forth. The lions' mouths had been shut. But now they were to devour Daniel's adversaries. And we may know this, that whatever adversary we may have, and whatever fire we may have to be cast into, or seemingly, whether of man's making, or whether it is of God's appointment, whether we regard it as God's appointment, it is to bring us through, to bring us through. And that is because his love cannot consume us. His wrath may, but not his love. And love how is it put in that Song of Solomon? It just goes from my mind. Many waters cannot quench love. No. Well, so not one of his own dear people can be lost. But in their course of their life here, they have to plead again and again, thy will be done. Not my will. It's my will which seeks and wants to have this, lean upon that, do the other. That's what brings the destruction. But thy will bring me through all those things and consume those things. Perhaps at some cost, but the end of it will bring peace forever. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. Just a few words upon this last clause. We know that the angels, they do all at his bidding in heaven. Oh, is that not then a desire that we might be as obedient servants? It was through disobedience that sin entered into the world. Now brought through the mercy and grace of God, we hate our sin, we hate ourselves, though we cannot deliver ourselves from those things. Yet we know that in following him, it is to walk in obedience. In obedience. Thy kingdom come. Are you seeking that the kingdom may be such, so powerful in your own heart and soul, that you walk according to his commandment? If ye love me, keep my commandments. To walk in those ways that he has set forth, his example, those institutions, those things wherein you may have the answer of a good conscience, and that you have displayed whose you are and whom you serve, seeking that you will not hide your light under a bushel, as we may be apt to do sometimes. But if we are called upon to declare what our faith is, that we are given help to do so, and we look to him that the power of the kingdom's grace of the kingdom might enable us, give us sweet enabling to do what is acceptable in his sight. Well, now, however backward we may be, may this not be the continual desire, Lord, overcome my weakness, my reticence, my backwardness. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in heaven, so upon earth, that we may be as those that heed the word and bids us to so walk in his ways. Yes. The Lord graciously will bring forth those things, those reasons, which we cannot then any longer object to. It's a wonderful thing when you lose all your objections. There may be many objections that are raised in your heart, but now consider this. Do you desire that his kingdom may come and that his will may be done, worked out in you as it is in with those in heaven that are made willing to go at his command, and so made willing to bow therefore at his footstool, not just merely in a prayer to ask this or to ask that. That is good. Or that we may ever be ready in all our asking, but to also walk it out according to the answer that he gives. And the answer may seem beyond you. I think of those that came and were healed. And to one I know he said, go and sin no more. You may say, but I'm still a sinner. I cannot but sin. Oh, the sin of my heart. Well, plead this prayer. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And he may give you the evidence of his grace in enabling you to walk as unto him, to live as unto him, and not as unto yourself. Well, we do not preach. We will not preach anything regarding creature power, but we do preach that where the Spirit works his work, it's not just seen in redemption, in justification, but also in the sanctifying effects of those things, which then enable you to run. And there are those places where it speaks of running. I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. You pray for the when thy kingdom come. And then you may experience what the psalmist truly was brought to do, or felt he would come to do. I will run, I will run in the way of thy commandments. So pray for the when and know the willingness. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Tim Parrish on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn number 389, 3:8-9. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Make me love thy precious word. Bid me seek thy smiling face, willing to be saved by grace. Hymn 389.
The grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.